This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Business Success Tips, where you can learn how to have fun, make money, and in general, succeed in your life.
You don't sound really enthusiastic about it.
That's because I have a goddamn cold. I never get sick. Oh, well, there's an exception to everything, right?
A goddamn cold.
A goddamn cold.
How is that different from other colds?
It's goddamn it.
So, and I'm sitting next to you?
You are. Okay, before I get tired tonight, I would like to talk about a book I read. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would like to say one thing before we get started, before I forget this. We have not gotten a round of drinks bought for us in some time, and it's hurting my feelings a little bit.
It's
been like 4 months, and I have to say, like, we have only begged a couple times on this show. Well, we've
so
never begged.
Please.
We're not feeling the love anymore. We're not feeling the love.
Yeah, in PBS. You, too, will receive this book and this. We don't have anything to give them.
Well, we can come up with that, but we'll give them on-air love.
On-air love.
We'll discuss their business. We will mention their website. We will go to the website.
On-air love, you know, sounds like a porno site.
Well,
in some ways, that's the cheapest.
That might be what they have.
That's right.
That's the cheapest marketing they could do.
That's right.
Buy us a bottle of wine and get
it's on the website. BusinessSuccessTips.org is where you can click the link to do it, right. By the way. And, okay, enough pandering. I'm done.
Tell your friends. So,
whoring myself out.
I went back and I reread a book called The Four Agreements. At least I got through the
Don
first.
Don Miguel Ruiz, Toltec Master.
At least got through the first two. The other two I have to read tonight. So I can do the first two.
Wait, is it four books or four chapters?
There's four agreements he talks about.
Okay.
The Toltec Masters, the wisdom of the Aztecs, blah, 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 that whole thing. And the first one was the impeccability of your word. And my interpretation of that was people do not understand how powerful the word is. Because when you think about it, he used the example of Hitler. But all Hitler did was talk. And when you think about the mass destruction and all those really bad things that happened out of one guy talking, mm-hmm. created a hell for millions of people.
Well, that's oversimplifying it. He strategized
But the way he communicated...
Had charisma.
But the point was,
But there was a long strategy
if Hitler couldn't talk, we wouldn't have Nazis.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The word is powerful. No, the word.
Okay.
No.
Jesus. All right.
Don't swear on this show.
Jesus. Jesus talked. Gandhi talked.
Telling my Irish grandfather.
You pick, and the one thing that humans do that other creatures on this planet do not do is talk. And it is incredibly powerful. And what happens is, if you go into the philosophy of the book, or in this dream anyway, that the words you use help create your dream or your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the example of a small child who was trying to sing, and they were singing and singing, and the mom was having a bad day and headache, and goes to the child and says, "You have a horrible voice. You should never sing. Just shut up." Changed the entire child's life. Never sang after that. Not happening. So certain words at certain times can be incredibly powerful.
I agree.
So, when he talks about the impeccability of the word, what that means is you shouldn't say anything bad about yourself or anyone else. Because our own self-talk causes
problems. Let me give you a twist on that, because this is an issue that came up within my company. I'll put a little business spin on this. And that is going back to the proverbial salespeople should act as if they have 2 ears and 1 mouth, which they do. Mm-hmm. And salespeople can actually foul things up by using too many words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So less is more. Mm-hmm. You know, economizing on your words, not having to speak at every defined interval. Mm-hmm. There's some people when they're selling that if they haven't filled the air with something for 3 minutes, they feel that they're lacking in some way. So they've got to fill the air with something, even if it ends up being destructive to the deal. So I would say that the converse of what you're saying is that too many words can be very destructive.
Right, and the words you need to be... Think about what you say.
Right.
Because the other thing you talk about in the book is that one could look at this earth as sort of, not a living hell, but certainly has a lot of problems, all right? And the contention of that book is that pretty much most of the problems that mankind experiences were brought into existence by the word, by talking about, by gossip, by cynicism, by negativity, and speaking out this stuff, which eventually manifest.
Right. Well, thoughts, it's the thoughts become words, the words become energy, and the energy becomes action and result. And so, and I might be taking that a little out of order, right, but that's the thing that you hear in things like in yoga and Buddhism and things like that, where that the word is extremely important. It is how we communicate energy and intention. And impeccability is one of my favorite words. And I know it's interesting. We actually have had it as a guest on this show. I don't know if it was lost in the Great Purge or not, but episodes with Alan Hardman, who is a Toltec master, great guy, Alan, A-L-L-A-N, Hardman. You can find him online at joydancer.com. He was a guest on this program. He lives in Santa Rosa where we record. He is a student of Don Miguel Ruiz's.
And for our business success, for our listeners and for me, what is Toltec?
Okay, so Toltec is essentially an ancient religion, set of beliefs that originating in the southern United States in Mexico by a race of ancient people, the Toltecs, who have a certain philosophy of life and existence. And Carlos Castaneda, all of that is Toltec. Don Miguel Ruiz is sort of the kinder, gentler face on it. Carlos Castaneda's was not palatable to everyone. Some of it got kind of dark and, you know, the sorcery thing. But it's all essentially sorcery, right, of some kind. But in the Spanish definition of the word, a brujo, you know. But in any case, it was really enjoyable to have Alan on the program. And you know, I recommend people listen back to that. And he's also been a client of mine, and I've talked to him a number of times. And I think that impeccability is this concept that you see constantly within Toltec. I'm not going to call it a religion, philosophy, whatever you want to call it. The idea of being impeccable with one's word and action. And we see this in other places too, not just in Toltec. We see that in Buddhism and Christianity, where we must speak our hearts and minds truly, lest we deceive people, lest we, I think, really mischaracterize ourselves and our intentions. And it sets forth, I think it's just like it's a form of purity to do that. And that it's a practice, a spiritual practice.
Does that extend to the written word?
Absolutely.
Because the thing that comes to mind for me is the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution.
Great example.
Right, where those words that were penned after lots of debate and argument,
the libertarian is in the room. Right. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, but seriously, that those words, that they were writing words that were going to shape American history for the next several hundred years,
and they were carefully selected.
Very carefully selected words,
and they were impeccable words, and they were expected to be held over time.
Right,
and I think, but here's the thing: is that why do we not do that with everything spoken and written?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a perfect case in point. I don't send out an email until I've gone through it and made sure it's grammatically correct. I'm saying what I mean. A lot of people, I think, are guilty of just getting an email out there. It's open to misinterpretation. It causes a lot of misspent energy because people get the wrong message. And then miscommunication can snowball.
Right.
So diarrhea of the brain.
Yeah. So if we can translate this into technology while we're speaking about the written word, you know, I think from a communication perspective in business, to bring it back to business, I think it's really important to be very thoughtful about your emails. Make sure you're clearly communicating. I'd say within your organization, sometimes you have to over-communicate in order to be an effective communicator.
Well, there's virtually no reason ever to say anything negative about anybody,
right,
including yourself,
right,
ever. It never serves a purpose.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, you have to do that. I mean, there's always another choice, which is to not say anything. And it's like,
you can either not say anything or say, you can say, you know, they weighed 150 pounds. You don't have to say they were fat.
I mean, you don't have to have judgment.
You don't have to have judgment. In words, because we're constantly judging ourselves and others, you know, we suffer, right? The business suffers, people suffer, and sort of the hell that most people have created in a way for themselves, the suffering they do, has a lot to do with the word and what they say.
Absolutely.
And
I think
parents do it for kids, employers do it for employees. Like, I have one client of mine, and one of his issues is his little manic, depressive, sorry, word is pretty overkill, but he either is things are incredible or things are terrible. And they're never like much in the middle. But when he goes into one of these, oh my God, it's bad, that has huge consequences in his company. Well, they have no clue how you know, that one kind of conversation can
affect
the whole company. As a business leader, you never ever want to come off negative, or you know, you got to call a spade. You have to be realistic. You have to say, well, we have this issue, but this is how we're going to address it. But just to come right out and state something negative, nothing good will come of that.
Well, essentially, it's like, you know, you picture the leader of a military riding on a cavalry, yeah, right, and the horse is back in front. Well, actually, I think we're really screwed. Soldiers, I think we're going to die, but it's going to be our last ride.
Follow me.
Nobody's going to get inspired.
No. Yeah. And so one's word is probably the most important business tool anybody has.
I agree.
I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I want to also add a footnote to something you said about salespeople, or just an adjunct to it, which is that, you know, with sales, and this means if you're selling as a business owner, anybody who's selling, once you get them nodding their head and you've closed the deal, and we all know the moment of closing, shut the hell up.
Exactly.
Because the only thing you can do at that point is ruin things or make it worse. So it's like you really back off. You back off your ego. You go into minimalist mode of just getting the signature or getting out of that meeting because it's a done deal.
Let me tell you the worst 7 words I ever heard in sales. And this was in a technology sale. The deal was done. And the rookie salesman said, I think it's 7 words, let me show you one more thing. Right?
Ow.
Ow. And the thing that he showed the client, which he was all excited about showing them, opened up a huge can of worms. The net is they lost
the deal.
A big deal. Yeah. Mm.
And that happened to who? Which who? I mean, don't name the company, but how did you were there? Or
no,
you
this is a good friend of mine's company, and he was on site with one of his junior sales guys.
Well, I coach people a lot in contractors and how to close deals with clients and putting large construction deals together. And I can tell you at least a couple of deals. They were pretty good size. You're like $1 million, $2 million construction project of a house. And the person asked a question.
Hold that thought, and we're going to come right back on business success tips, and we're going to hear what the question was.
All right.
And we're back on business success tips.
And the question was, picture a group of people sitting around a table. There's a contractor, the architect, and the client. And they're pretty much ready to choose this contractor to do this $2 million house. And the client turns to the contractor and says, well, who's going to supervise my project? And the contractor said, I don't know.
3 bad words.
So I think the best thing to have
killed
said,
it.
You would have said, who would you like to supervise? Because you shouldn't assume it's you.
Right.
You don't want to volunteer if you don't have time. So I think the appropriate answer might have been, who would you like to have supervisor?
Right. But those 3 words
killed
a $2 million deal. And I've seen it happen.
I don't know. Also bad words.
Yeah.
So let me show you one more thing.
Or tell you one more thing.
Right. So
let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something else.
That's my favorite part of Monty Python, Meaning of Life. Remember that? He's like, you Englishmen, no. He's like, you Americans. It's when death comes to dinner,
right,
and he's like the salmon mousse, and they're all dead, you know?
Yes.
He's like, but I didn't have the salmon mousse.
Oh.
And then the British are making fun of the Americans. He's like, you Americans. You're always like, let me tell you something, and here's something else. And anyway, great movie.
Right. So since we're on the subject, let me tell you another mortal sin. So a lot of people who sell end up drafting proposals, and that's such a natural part of their sales process that sometimes the client has basically committed to the deal and they still offer up the proposal. They're really just looking for maybe numbers. They're looking for something concise. And then the salesperson offers up the whole proposal. And the only thing that's going to do is slow down the sales process at that point.
Right.
So you have to gauge how close your prospect is to committing in terms of how much you give them. Right, and it goes back to the less is more. If you're that close to the goal line, you might just need a little bit.
I may add another thing to the Sandman 3 rules of selling.
Sure.
Well, we're in the 3 rules of selling. First rule of the Sandman rule of selling is sell yourself first.
Right.
You've got to believe in your heart of hearts that you're doing what's best for the client. And the second rule of selling is sell to your client's interest. Do what's good for the client, not what's good for you. Because in the long run, that always works out better. Third rule of selling is use the best communication you can use, which is usually in person, if at all possible. And secondly, email, which sort of sucks, or the phone, and then lastly, email. But if you can, do it in person. And I think that's probably a lot because of the power of the spoken word. Because it should also be a simple, clear, concise communication.
Well, I think you have to assess the situation and decide whether face-to-face is necessary. There are certain times that dictate face-to-face. There are other times where you just don't have to burn the 3 hours of windshield time.
Right.
Right. But in big deals, if it's a big deal, don't use email. If it's something that's just foolish, you know, or if it's something that there's a risk of miscommunication. I mean, there's always a risk of miscommunication, but it's something like
But you can't read somebody's... It's better on the phone than email. At least you can hear their voice.
But if you are going to take a trip somewhere to meet with people for a moderate to a large-size deal, make sure that the prospect commits to having the right people in the room. Because the last thing you want to do is do 3 hours of windshield time to find out that you're talking to
an assistant.
Now, wait, we started this talking about Don Miguel Ruiz and the Four Agreements. Two of the four
agreements. And I took it to a simplistic
question. No. This is the detour. But then we got to the Sandeman's Three Rules of Selling, and I want to hear what's the second agreement before we run out of time.
Well, actually...
So impeccability of your word.
Can I use the second agreement next year we want to show?
Well, I'd like to finish it this show. I'm trying to milk this.
Okay. But the second agreement is...
Well, it depends on how big the agreement... Maybe we do need to do that.
It's huge. Okay, how big it is.
So I'm going to rename this episode 1 out of 4 8.
That's right. The first agreement.
The agreement's redux.
Can you give us kind of like a teaser preview without naming what it is, saying what generally it's about?
Well, no, tease us.
Well,
I haven't read this in a while.
It has to do with the way we hear things.
He's not exactly sure. We're going to have to Google it.
I know what it is.
Oh, really? Okay. But I'll bet you $5 you don't know exactly what it is.
I do know what it is. So, but again, finish this. When you're talking and you're in business, when you try to address your employees, and try to go through a day, an exercise would be, try to go through a day, maybe you'll have an hour, without saying anything negative about anybody, especially yourself. It can be like, well, I'm stupid, or I should have done that differently, or my God, I can't believe I did that. That's trashing yourself, which is not having an impeccable word.
Right.
So impeccability especially applies to the way you talk about yourself and that internal dialogue we have.
And it's not just negativity. It's also honesty and accurate. It's the accuracy of your word. All of that is part of impeccability.
Right. Because what happens is they talked about it once, when you're clear with your word and you say things that are true, then your word becomes incredibly powerful because you believe what you say. If you say, I'm going to be there at 2, you're there at 2. Not at 2:05, not at 2:10, but at 2. So your word, you go, my word means something. If you say, I'm going to make that call, you make that call. If you say, I'm going to shovel that dirt, then you shovel that dirt. I'm going to write that report. And when you say something, you actually do what you say. That is incredibly powerful, and most people don't do it. Because if you don't, then when you say something, you don't believe yourself.
Yeah.
So if you say, I'm going to make that phone call, the part of your inner voice goes,
right. Like last time you didn't do it?
Yeah. Or, I'm going to go on a diet. Yeah, right.
It needs
or
to
I'm going to exercise. If
you commit to something, it needs to be a voice in the back of your mind until you follow through on
it. Right.
Yeah.
So if you could actually develop the habit of doing what you say and sort of saying what you do and actually having your word mean something, especially to you, you become a very powerful human being.
Right, because if you say I'm going to have a proposal to you tomorrow morning and it doesn't show up, you've just put a nail in the coffin of that deal.
And we've all met people who have acted impeccably, and there's something else. I mean, they really take you aback. Very few. But they're out there.
I mean, maybe the Dalai Lama, there's a couple.
No, there are more than that.
When somebody says, I'll be over at 3, most people actually aren't going to be there at 3 when they tell you something. So at least in this society, the one I'm in, most people don't keep their word.
Right.
It's rare. It isn't common. It is rare.
They need to strive to, commit and over deliver.
Right. Yes. And the person that suffers from this is you. It isn't anybody else. So the key in this sense to becoming an incredible, incredible, powerful person in business or in life in general is just do what you say. And don't, if you can't be there at 2, say, I won't be there at 2. It's not that tough. Just don't lie.
Right.
And live up to what you say. I mean, you may have the best of intentions when you say it, but you need to live up to those intentions or don't say it. It's not even about being, you know, lying. You might believe yourself, but you need to live up to it.
Right.
And to not poison and weaken your own relationship, like you said, with yourself and definitely with other people. And with that, we're going to go. So until next time, be impeccable with your word and your action. And we will see you next time on Business Success Tips. And we'll talk about the second of the four agreements.
Look forward to it.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
LexNet Consulting Group is your one-stop resource for a selection of award-winning CRM, email marketing, and business intelligence solutions. LexNet serves small to mid-sized companies across the western U.S. from our offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern California, and Seattle. LexNet's tailored business solutions are designed to increase revenue and reduce costs. LexNet will help you develop a consistent sales, marketing, and customer support approach to drive your company's revenues, even during tough economic times. Every business has unique needs, and LexNet will help you meet those needs with customized, integrated solutions that give your business easily accessible and actionable information. To find out more about the powerful and effective business management solutions that LexNet offers, please visit lexnetcg.com, where you'll find helpful resources including articles, white papers, industry news, customer success stories, and informative podcasts like this one. While there, be sure to sign up for our Customer 360 newsletter filled with CRM and email marketing news, tips, and tricks. LexNet, your partner in business success.